Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the program today. It's Mayor Wait a minute. It's only Wednesday. What the heck? Anyway, the mayor is here anyway. Mayor Michelle Randall. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. I'm doing well.
Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate you. We have, of course, an election coming up, but we're not allowed to talk about FCC rules. You can't talk about unless you get equal time. Don't so later on this month, we're going to have you and your opponent on the program.
Perfect.
And we'll have some set questions. We'll ask both of you exact same questions, and we'll give you a few minutes to just kind of wax, not poetic, but wax philosophical on your stand on things. So we'll do that later this month.
So. Very good. I will be here.
Now, October. I'm an October lover. I really, really like this month.
I love October as well.
Do you? Okay.
I love October.
To me, having lived in St. George, I haven't lived here as long as you, but I've been here 31 years. To me, October, everybody say, September's great. The fall, autumn is here. Well, technically, yeah, but in St. George, autumn really starts to arrive in October, where things start to cool down.
At night it gets a little bit more crisp, and I love fall. I started decorating for fall, I think, the first week of September. So.
Nice. Well,
I was hoping it would come on quicker if I did that.
I got here the other day. I think it was Monday morning. It was 58 degrees in St. Louis when I got here to work at 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, yes, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah. So, autumn is here. Of course, for me, there are selfish reasons. My anniversary is in October. Football season really gets heated up and going.
Yes, it does.
And I got to tell you, all these years I've done football games in St. George in August and September, and it's been miserable. I mean, it's not fun doing a football game.
I can't even imagine playing.
When it's 105.
No. And you're just denouncing. Imagine playing.
Oh, yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah. I remember years ago, I was doing games with Mike McGarry down in when Dixie College was playing down in Phoenix. They were in that league with Glendale and Scottsdale and Mesa, and they wouldn't even start games till 9 o'clock in Phoenix. It was still 110 degrees at 9 o'clock at night, and we're up there in the press box sweating buckets, and I'm like, imagine those poor kids down there, those 19-year-old kids playing football in full gear.
Doesn't seem very safe, does it?
No, it was terrible.
I can't hear you through my headphones.
Oh, all right. Let's see if we can get your headphones fixed. It's got a little bit of a short or something, so I mess around with it.
There.
Did that help?
Yeah. Okay. Turn it down just
turn
a
it down
hair.
A little. Okay. All right. We're going to leave
it. I can
it
hear
for
you now.
All right, good. Michelle Randall, of course, the mayor of St. George City, has been for how many years now? Six?
Five. It'll be five at the end of December.
Nice. And how has Michelle Randall changed in 5 years with this job?
How has she changed?
I always ask coaches this, because sometimes you get a coach and he's been coaching 20 years or whatever, and you say, how are you coaching different now than you were 20 years ago? And of course, there are big differences. How are you mayoring now compared to five years ago?
Well, first I had to start coloring my hair.
Okay.
I didn't have to 5 years ago.
Ah, so the kids didn't turn your hair gray. The job did.
The job did, yes. Okay. So about 3 years ago, I had to start coloring my hair.
Well, it looks good. I did not know. I mean, I assumed
it's
you
the same
did,
color. I've always been had hair this dark, but
you never tried blonde then.
So. No. Okay. I don't think I'd make a good blonde. I've learned a lot in 5 years, and there's things I would go back and do different if I could.
Of course, we all
would. I mean, if we had to do over.
Remember, 5 years ago, there was something kind of going on in our country and in our city.
Yeah.
It was called COVID-19.
COVID, and I became mayor like right after the height of COVID, so we weren't having to mask and social distance and all that good garbage.
But a lot of the rest of the country still was.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And, and then, of course, we had the name change at the university, and we had the drag show fiasco, and there was a lot to deal with. There was a lot going on. But I feel it's taken this long, I feel like, for the council to really gel. You know, the last year, it feels like the council's really come together, and we... we're busy. We're getting, there's a lot of projects going on around St. George, and good projects, things that, you know, will be here long after we're gone and that we helped bring to fruition. So I've really enjoyed it. John Willis, so we switched city managers as well while I was mayor. And John's been amazing to work with. And we've got amazing executive staff, people that run this day-to-day operations. And
right.
It's a busy, busy job. I mean, I'm busy a lot. I get tired, but I love doing what I do because I love the city.
Go back to something you said about the city council gelling. How much of that is on you to get them to gel? As mayor, isn't that kind of, I guess it's one of your jobs, right? Is to try to get them all, and it's impossible for it to be perfect all the time.
Well, you've got six different personalities if you include the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got some people with a passion about one thing and somebody with passion about something else. And I'll just be honest, Michelle Tanner and I were like oil and water when she first got on. Mm-hmm. She came in like a bull in a china shop, and I wasn't used to that. And
I think she had good intentions, but they were handled interesting way of handling them.
It was just something I wasn't used to. I'm not saying it right or wrong. It was just something that I wasn't used to.
Okay.
And so being mayor, there were times that she and I weren't the kindest to each other, and I think she would admit that as well. And it's been over a year ago. We went to lunch and we sat down and we had a 2-hour lunch where we just discussed lots of things, and we agree on a lot of things, you know, not everything, but, you know, I'm called the liberal in this mayoral race, which is kind of crazy because I've always been a Republican, but, we talked a lot about how our politics align in a lot of ways, and we just, I tell people, we buried the hatchet, but not in each other's backs. And yeah. So it's been really great to feel like I can reach out to her and, or text her with different things. And she may push back on something, and that is okay.
Right.
You don't want a council that just everybody thinks the exact same way and nobody has different ideas. So we've evolved a lot, and it's been nice.
Been really nice to see, like you mentioned, to see the council gel, including the mayor, and it come together. And like you said, we don't want a rubber stamp council. We don't want everybody is in lockstep. That's not what we want. But we do want civility and, agreeance on the important issues. So.
And I think we all, the one thing we all have in common is we all love where we live. And we all want to keep it an amazing place for our kids, our grandkids. Michelle's having a baby. I mean, she's announced that on Facebook, so I'm not sharing anything new. But
and do you know the due date? Should we throw that out there too? No, I don't. I'm just kidding.
February.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I said
another granddaughter in February too. Yeah.
Really?
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Because I said, well, so Danielle and I share a birthday in February. We're at the end of February, February 27th.
I know, you guys missed out on the best month, March. But that's, I'm March 1st.
Yeah.
So
I have a niece who's March 1st as well. But, it's been good. It's been good. And right this time of year it's a busy time of year. Once September hits, it feels like it's just off to the races until around the Christmas holidays. And then you kind of have a couple-week breather. We usually only try to have, like, two council meetings in December. And then you kind of have a breather and can take some time with your family and enjoy the holidays and then hit right back up after the 1st.
Hit the ground running in January.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I did want to spend a couple of minutes here talking about what's happening on Saturday.
Nothing.
We have been involved in the St. George Marathon here. Now we're Town Square. We were Cherry Creek before that for as long as I can remember. And I've been to Maybe not as many. How many marathons have you been to, Mayor? Because I've been to a lot of them.
I probably was at the very first one. I remember when it was just really, really small. And we would sit with my family, like, in the back of my dad's truck and watch the runners come from SR18. But this is the 49th year.
49th one, yep.
49th year. Next year, it'll be 50, and we're going to try and have a huge...
So you were a little girl, and you watched the marathon when you were a little girl?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've been an adult since I've been in St. George, and so I've watched... I think I've been to my first one probably...
I want to say I was either in 9th grade or 10th grade when I first remember watching it. Okay. And then we would watch every year. And then, of course, the last 5 years, I've been involved with the Mayor's Walk, so... I get up and do that. I walked a couple of times when John was the mayor, but usually we'd show up later, like down on the finish line.
Tell me what the St. George Marathon has meant to the city of St. George. Is it part of the St. George identity now?
Oh, I absolutely believe it is. It's ranked one of the top marathons in the nation, and it's a Boston qualifier, so... You know, if you're a professional runner, of course you want to come here to try and qualify. I heard it's a very hard marathon, but also the scenery is just gorgeous.
Runners I've talked to said the hard part is the downhill.
Really?
Believe it or not, because even though the hills, going up the hills are hard, coming down the hills, because you lose a lot of it, I don't know, was it 1,200 feet of elevation or something, it's so hard on the shins because you basically got to slow yourself down.
Being down at the finish line when they come through, I'm just blown away. Yeah. And I am blown away that somebody can finish a marathon in just over 2 hours.
Yeah, no.
Like 26 miles.
Yeah.
I just, and then those people who stick it out to the fifth and the sixth hour, and it's getting warmer, and, you know, the crowds have thinned, and kudos to them. I mean, it takes a real mindset to do a marathon. I call the Mayor's Walk a leisurely stroll. And we do. We just kind of take our time to walk down to the park. It's a 1 mile walk, and anybody's welcome to join. And if you want a mayor's t-shirt, then, you can go sign up at the city's website, sgcityutah.gov, and put in your shirt size, and then you'll be able to pick it up. I keep thinking it's Thursday as well. Friday, down at the expo at the Dixie Center, they have a big marathon expo that you can go in, and they have a big room set up with all kinds of, marathon gear, shorts, shirts, sweaters, from all different places, kind of like the Ironman does. But it's always, we've been so fortunate because every year that I've been mayor and that we've walked, the weather's been absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you get to watch, and the sun comes up as you're walking. It starts at 7 a.m. down at the school district parking lot. And then we end down at the finish line, and you can just hang out down around there and watch the first runners come through. Now they do the half marathon along with the full marathon. So the half marathon runners will come in first. And then it's amazing to me because the winners of the marathon, male and female, are coming in with those that are finishing the half.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of a cool thing. They have smart people. I'm not one of them. They have smart people who, all right, these people are in the half and these people are in the phone. I think they have them finished on different sides of the street whatever, but it's kind of cool. By the way, I was just looking up forecast for Saturday. We've got a cold front coming in Friday night, and the high Saturday will be 75. And about the time the racers are starting the race, it'll be 53 degrees up
That's
there.
That's cold. That's why they have so many people up there. Kudos to our city staff and our marathon race crew. I mean, they've done it so many years that they're experts at it now. But the amount of porta potties you need to have up there, and the bonfires they build so people can stay warm, and they're all bundled up, and then to bring all the clothes back down here for when they finish, and it's the logistics are crazy. And then they have a drone show up there before they start as well.
Amazing. About 8,000 runners, I guess, this year. And I think that's about the par for the course the last few years, right?
And the half marathon sold out as well. I mean,
wow.
Just very quick.
So the city puts on the marathon. City didn't put on the Ironman, right? It was involved in it, but it didn't put it on.
Right.
And same with the Huntsman World Senior Games. That's not a city event. But the St. George Marathon is a city event. These are city employees that put the thing on.
They are, yes.
And the amount, I can't even fathom the amount of work on a Saturday or a Friday night that these people have to do to get
ready. They're exhausted by the end of Saturday night. Yeah. Well, actually, the Ibagawa delegation, so we bring in a delegation from our sister city,
and Japan,
some of them are runners, so they'll get here tonight at 10. And then we have an international luncheon with them on Friday, but they stay at host families and they're out seeing things and going everywhere, and a lot of them will walk in the mayor's walk with me. The mayor of Ibagawa usually just walks in the mayor's walk. And then on Sunday, they have a medals dinner. You know, they present to, like, the 15-year club and the 10-year club and the winners and all of that kind of stuff. So they're working, well, they work all year to get the marathon done. But this weekend, it's all hands on deck. And so then I'm sure they, by the time the dinner's over Sunday, they all, like, collapse.
Yeah. Or does everybody get Monday off? Or
I would take Monday off for sure.
The marathon, again, this Saturday. Yes, there will be certain road, I don't know if closures is the right word, but certain detour. They ask you not to go in certain areas. Honestly, if you go to the south end of town, you won't even notice.
No, there's
going
no
on.
Traffic down there at all.
Yeah. So I will be there live in my usual finish line perch. And hopefully Michelle will join me.
I'll
for
stop
some
by
of it.
With a jacket on if it's going to be.
And apparently chilly. Not a scone.
No scones this year.
What is up with that?
The Exchange Club isn't doing that this year. I know, bummer, huh?
That makes me sad.
Maybe we can DoorDash McDonald's or something.
I never had time to eat my scone anyway. I was on the air, but yeah, let's get a McMuffin or something in there for crying out loud. Okay. So Saturday again, the quick runners, the pros, the good ones, the really good. I don't mean the other ones aren't good, but the pros, they finish by what, 9 o'clock? 8:30, something like that. It's pretty
I think it's later than that because they don't start up there until I can't remember the exact start time. I think it's 7. So usually,
a little after 9.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, my brother, it was a marathon. He's run 10 of these things.
Wow.
It's a 10-year badge. I guess you get a badge if you
do.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He was telling me. It's a weird perspective. If you're a really, really good runner and you can finish the race in 2+ hours, really close to 2 hours, that's hard. But you're in prime shape and you did it. But he's one of those guys that, you know, it took him about 4 hours to run it, 3.5, 4 hours to run it. And he says it's actually, I don't want to make it diminish what the pros do, but he said it's actually harder because you're on your feet and you're doing the race longer.
Oh, yeah.
And he says you have no idea how exhausted you are when you hit the 4-hour mark and you've been running for 4 hours. He said it's hard to explain. Yes, the pros are good. They're better than me, but they're also done in 2+
hours.
Yeah,
they're done. And they come in and they look like they could continue running.
Yeah.
And then some come in and absolutely collapse in the arms of the volunteers, and there's a medical tent right there. And as it's getting warmer and it's taking people longer, you'll see a lot of IHC has a tent set up there with a lot of volunteers hooking up IVs and all that kind of stuff. So
incredible athleticism shown on Saturday.
And a great community event. Kudos to the volunteers. Because without the volunteers, we couldn't put on the marathon. They man all of the aid stations from Central down. And there's some people, it's a family event. They do it every year. They love it. They're handing out the water, the gel packs, or whatever you have. And medical has to come together. You have to have ambulances, you know, driving the course. And, of course, the police are involved to keep traffic. And so it's all hands on deck.
I had a place I lived. It was out in Washington, the Washington 8th Ward. They manned an aid station every year. I think they still do it. So they're over there at 4 o'clock in the morning getting that thing set up.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. My wife was kind of in charge and helped with that for many years. But, yeah, like you said, all hands on deck. Everyone's involved. There are naysayers. There are people that, oh, you're messing up our traffic. You're messing up our town. We don't want people to know about it. It's too late for that, by the way. We don't want people to know how great this place is.
We do want people here. They come in here and they spend their money for a few days, then they go home.
Yeah. And sometimes they come back and buy a house.
That a second house, maybe.
All right. We're on with Michelle Randall today here on the Andy Griffin Show. She is the mayor of St. George City. Now, you talk about, I've said this before, being a mayor is not a full-time job or a part-time job. It's an all-the-time job. Tell us a little bit about, we'll do it in a minute because I got to get a commercial break. But maybe be thinking about what your schedule is like. What obligations there are and how many events you're supposed to show up to every week. I think the number got up there in like over 40 or something like that. We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, we will take your text. If you want to text in, 435-467-5842. 435-467-5842. You can always call 673-5890. In fact, you know what? Before we go to break, Michelle, let's take a call. Hey, you're on with Andy and Mayor Randall. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to thank the mayor. I know it's been a marathon trying to get that light put in over a Pioneer and Sugar Leo. And the light turned on today.
Awesome.
It's on. Yay.
It's on.
It is on. So we really appreciate you getting that done for us, Mayor. I know, like I said, it's been a marathon. It's been a long time coming. So we really appreciate that over in Bloomington.
You're so welcome. My sister lives right on Man of War, so nice to know the light's on today. Thank you.
Light is on. Okay, thank you.
We had thank you for calling. We had what's the name of the guy that's in charge of streets? Engineer
Cameron Cutler.
Cameron said, eventually he said it's going to get out, but he said eventually that roundabout at the Bloomington exit will be a stoplight. It will no longer be he said in the future. He didn't say when in the future, so we're left to wonder. But eventually that roundabout will
hopefully
go away.
Sooner than later.
I think
that's
so
a terrible
too.
Roundabout.
It's been pretty awful.
Yeah, it's awful.
Especially when you have a guy in an RV going the wrong direction on it or something like that. We'll take a break. More with the Mayor Randall after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
9:35 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Michelle Randall, the mayor of St. George City, is sitting right across the desk from me wearing blue, baby blue, not baby blue, but
royal
blue today.
Royal blue.
Dixie blue, right?
Yes, Dixie Flyer blue.
Loyal to the royal, somebody told me the other day. If you went to Dixie, you're loyal to the royal.
Hey, I did graduate from Dixie.
And, you know, Pineview people, they talk about the Circle Black, and in Snow Canyon, it's grab gold or touch gold, but in Dixie, it's loyal to the royal.
That's new, because it wasn't around when I was back there.
Everybody looks for something cool to say, right? I don't know.
That right. Works.
We have some nuts and bolts things to take care of. All right, one listener sent a note in and said the reconfiguration of 700 East, would the mayor address this? And I didn't really know what they were talking about, but you do.
Yes. So about 2 years ago, the university came to the city, and along with UDOT, we... been working on this project for about 2 years, and it was to put a trail on the east side of 700 East.
So 700 is the road that goes right by what
the
used
university.
To be Hanson Stadium, which is now
yes.
Greater Zion Stadium. There's the new buildings there. There's the cemetery and the Larkin
right.
Real Estate as you head south on that. Okay, so again, you're going to, you put a trail in.
We put a trail
on which side?
On the east side, so
okay.
The side where the university is.
Okay.
And so there's no longer any parking on that side of the street.
Oh, okay.
That's just open for pedestrians, bikes, scooters, whatever. And that trail connects all the way up to Red Hills Parkway.
Oh, wow.
And so you can hit the trail up there. But there's still three lanes traffic. You know, you've got your...
The turn lane, one on either.
Okay. But it does slow traffic down a little bit. It is a traffic calming measure. There's some people that absolutely love it, some that absolutely hate it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a UDOT grant involved, and we had planned on repaving all of 700 East. And so through our pavement management plan, we ended up having to pay $300,000 for that trail.
Wow.
That was our portion. Okay. So, which is very cheap when you know exactly what trails are. This is more of, this isn't just like the trail you see out on the bike trails. When you go by it, you'll see there's an actual curb between the trail and the traffic. So you would feel safer if you're walking or biking or whatever. And the university loves it because it opens them up to where they can be seen. I was at an event at the university one day, and I parked at the Burns Arena. And when I was pulling out, there was a big truck parked right there.
And you couldn't see.
You couldn't see. Yeah. You just have to slowly inch out and hope you don't get hit.
Right.
And so, you know, there's naysayers, and then there's people who love it.
So
like everything else.
A couple of years ago, Danielle Larkin started talking about kind of the traffic patterns and the lanes in cities, and she compared, do we want to develop like L.A. and have freeways and giant busy streets everywhere, or do we want to control the way traffic works so that we can coexist with cars and pedestrians and bikes? Is this part of that? Is this part of making St. George a little more pedestrian friendly?
This is part of that. And UDOT, you know, UDOT's mission is, it's not only just traffic, but it is also pedestrian and bikes, and it's all traffic. And so UDOT was really excited about this project, or of course they wouldn't have paid for it.
Right.
And we have such a great trail system. Eventually we'd like to get all the trails connected. So for people who like to bike and run and walk and scooter their way to work or wherever they're going, they can. And they can get there safely and not have to be on a really busy road.
Is this this concept, kind of the one street concept, one street for all, is it realistic as the city gets bigger and bigger and bigger? Because that, I think as we look to the future, and some projections say by 2050 something, you know, there's going to be 250,000 people in St. George. Is this concept going to keep working as we get bigger? Is it okay to have this?
I hope so. You know, and the thing with this trail is, down the road, if we see this isn't really working, it's you remove it.
You can fix it.
Yeah, you can fix it. But yeah. 700 East, I've never had an issue going up 700 East. There's a lot more stop signs on 700 East now, which the neighbors that live on the side have really liked because they can get out, especially when school's going. You've got 14,000 students at Utah Tech, or 12 or whatever it is. It's thousands of students.
Yeah.
And so they can get out safer. So, no, we're not planning on going on doing this on every street, but that's a street that made sense.
It's funny you mentioned the stop signs. I have, for the longest time, there wasn't a stop sign there at the corner of the cemetery and where the Larkin building is and stuff.
It wasn't four way. It was just two way.
Yeah, it was two way. Yeah. And I honestly, I had a really hard time with that one when it became a four way, because I'm like, I can't stop here. This is not a, well, it is now. And, I think I'm getting used to it, but still the part of me that, you know, knew that road before that stop sign still has a hard time digesting that one. That's a tough one for me.
It's so, like everything that you put in that's newer, it takes time to get
true.
To get used to it.
It's true. All right. You had a couple of updates on some listener questions. The construction out, was it out SR-18?
Last month.
Yeah.
The caller was certain they were building something. No, it is just straight road construction, utilities.
So infrastructure,
that's
pipes,
it.
Utilities,
yeah.
Roads.
That's all they're doing.
No building.
There's no building going there. And then you asked about the park by you, the Forest Park.
Yeah.
And the Parks Department is going in and cutting all the dead out of the trees in there. So.
Okay. Do you know the water situation there? It just seems a lot drier there than it was. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to check.
But, yeah. I can find out for
you. And maybe that ties into the health of the vegetation there. Maybe there's less water than there used to be.
So Shane Moore said he did go down and look at the trees himself, because he was tree. What do you call it?
A tree, a botanist.
Arborist.
Arborist, yes.
And he said he's been having Parks get the dead trees out, so...
One of my dad's good friends and a friend of our family, Randy, he was a tree scientist. And I can't remember what the official name was, but he could, you know, he was into, they'd take the little sample out and count the rings right. And all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And, of course, my dad was a geologist. He dealt with rocks, not trees. And so he was like, yeah, this guy's kind of crazy. But they certainly had their expertise areas.
That's right.
So,
and Shane could tell you the name of every tree trees. In the sea. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. He knows trees. That's cool. Let's see. Well, we got a couple of minutes till the break. Was there any other updates that...
No, you had just asked me, like, what my schedule looks like.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about your schedule a little bit. As mayor, I think, I don't want to say optional is the right word, but there are a lot of meetings, and if you went to every one of them, every second of every day would be filled up. You try to go to as many as you can, though, right?
I do. You know, I don't make it to all the ribbon cuttings. Everybody invites you to a ribbon cutting, yeah. And that's all you would be doing. And the chamber's really good. They have their group of sunshiners that do ribbon cuttings and things like that. But since January 1st to today's date, I've attended 467 meetings. I've returned 3,046 phone calls. These are only city-related, okay?
Okay.
And 2,437 emails.
Wait, how did you do the math on all that?
I keep track every month.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed.
I keep track.
Okay, how many phone calls did you say you returned?
3,046. That's either phone calls or texts, and that's only city-related stuff.
And this is in the 5 years you've been mayor?
This is just this year.
Just this year?
From January.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so, like, this week... So Monday I had 5 meetings. Yesterday I had 5 meetings. Today I just have you. And then I have the rest of the day to myself to do whatever I want. I told you I was going to have a nap.
It will get filled up, probably, right? You think you're free, but
no,
you're
look
not.
At me. I came to do no meetings today. That's why I love radio. I could come in my sweats, no makeup.
You look great, by the way.
And then Thursday, like, I have a conference from 8 to 2. And then I've got another meeting, well, 2 meetings after that. And then, so that's a full day. And then Friday I have 4 meetings and Saturday at the Mayor's Walk. And then nothing
early,
on Sunday.
Early, yes.
So.
And you get paid a lot of money to do all that.
Yep.
Not really.
A fortune.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who's a football coach. And I said, well, at least you get coaches paid. And he goes, oh, yeah. I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, well, let's just say if we took an accounting of the hours I put in and the amount of pay I get, it equals like $1 an hour or something like that. So probably the mayor's about the same.
I don't figure that up. I'm just happy I do get some pay. And but I do it. There's no way I would have ran for re-election if I absolutely hated doing this job.
All right.
So.
I got to get a break in. When we come back, I do want to ask you something. We're kind of kidding around a little bit, but it's very serious. And it's about why you do it. And especially considering what happened a couple of weeks ago to an assassination that took place in the state of Utah. And why it would be easy to go, I don't want to do it anymore. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Michelle Randall is here, Mayor of St. George City, a very public office. And Michelle, I had asked you about, before we went to the break, about your job. And it just always fascinated me that people that choose to have a very public job like a mayor of a city, especially a fairly large city like you are mayor of, there are going to be people who do not like you, who hate you. Bill Hoster is a friend of mine, mayor of Leeds. He had death threats.
Yes, he did.
And in fact, I think he wouldn't admit this, but I think he decided not to run again because it wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth it to him.
So I will ask you, in the wake of what happened with Charlie Kirk in our state with someone from our area, do you have thoughts sometimes of being, I don't know if I want to do this?
That did come across my mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, the day Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I was just sick and thinking, first that happened in our state. Of all the universities he's been to,
yeah,
and debated with students that it would be in Orem, yeah, Utah.
But you and I'm sure we're both thinking, well, it had to be someone from out of the state that did this. There's no way it was a Utah.
So about 10:45 that night, I got a call from CNN. I don't answer calls I don't know. I let it go to voicemail. If they leave a voicemail, I will call you back. So if you call me and I don't answer, leave a voicemail and I'll call you back.
Okay.
And it was CNN saying, hey, we heard the shooter lives in St. George. Please call us. They acted, you know, you got to call us right now. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I called the police chief. And he's like, well, that's news to me. I haven't heard that. But he was dealing with another issue going on, and I said, I'll just call the supervisor that was working that night. So I called Lieutenant Willinger, and he's like, hey, it's pretty quiet tonight. Well, then about 10 minutes later, I got a call from the chief, and he's like, something's going on. The FBI's got a search warrant, and something's going on. And then every media in the country was blowing up my phone. Yeah. Like, from the Daily Mail in the UK to the Atlantic to the New York Times to, you know, the Trib to TMZ. And I didn't speak to one of them because he was renting an apartment with his partner in St. George, but he grew up over in Washington. And I felt horrible for his family. I can't imagine. I always thought I would rather be Charlie's family than his family. To know that my son had done that. But the next day we had our 9/11 memorial that we do every year at Town Square. Yeah. And it was nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking to me. First of all, when you're a female, it's a little different. You feel a little bit more vulnerable.
Right.
And emotions. I had a lot of emotions, just raw emotions. And my biggest thing to everybody down there was, let's act like the country we did on 9/12. Why can't we go back to that? Where you could say something I disagree with, but I'm not going to kill you over it.
Right.
I'm just going to say, okay, let's agree to disagree and walk away and it'd be okay. But the chief had texted me earlier that day, and he said, we're going to have extra security there. They were just taking precautions because you just didn't know. You didn't know if, does he have friends here? You know, and it's like Thursday at City Council, a gentleman showed up, and he was sitting in the back of the room, and he had on a T-shirt that, you know, New Mayor wanted. And so you just look at that, and you're like, okay, fine. He can do that, but will he ever take it further?
Right.
And so that is always in the back of your mind. It truly is.
And then what happened last Sunday at a LDS chapel in Michigan?
Right.
Everybody said, well, maybe you can see these things coming. Nobody saw it coming.
No.
This guy took innocent lives because he didn't like Mormons, I guess. That seems to be the motive.
Yeah, it's just, you look at somebody, and yes, I get that people who have served overseas, there's PTSD involved and some mental health issues and different things, but you don't expect, the one place you go to worship and to feel safe,
yeah, your sanctuary,
is a church.
Yeah.
And yet, I was talking to my parents after, and I'm like, really, you're goldfish in a bowl, and I don't care what chapel it is, whether it's the Catholic chapel that they have or an LDS chapel or whatever. They're built to where, you know, there's a few exits in and a few exits out. Mm-hmm. And this guy just drove through the front. And I've noticed as I've been driving around some of the different chapels, and I'm like, okay, somebody couldn't really drive through the front on that one because they'd have to go up a hill, kind of.
Yeah.
But it really makes you keep your head on a swivel, unfortunately. And it's really, really disheartening to me, the day and age we live in, where you just, there's been left and right, Republicans, Democrats, since the beginning. Yet they didn't always just have to resort to violence to take out somebody they didn't agree with. And I said to somebody that day, I would have been as shocked and as mortified as if it was somebody whose voice I didn't agree with. Because with That's Charlie not okay. Kirk, yeah. he was just giving his opinion.
Yeah.
It wasn't violence. It was just, I'm going to give you how I feel, my opinion.
It's not okay to do that. It's just not. Okay, we got 4 minutes. I got a couple of texts. Let's see. If we can make three left-turning lanes instead of just two coming under Gateway toward the mall, if we had three left-hand turning lanes and the right one could also go into the mall, that would stop a lot of people racing each other to get to the next stoplight. It goes on, but your thoughts on that one?
That's over by Middleton, right?
Where right by the mall.
Yeah.
Gateway goes under the freeway, and then there's... And it was weird because they whoever was running the road there, they erased the straight only on the ground.
Yeah.
And so for a day or two, I thought, well, maybe you can turn left from that lane too, but they never took the sign up off the stoplight. So I was like, I guess this is still a straight only lane, but I think that actually would help. Okay, the other one, the new playground at Springs Park is not for young kids. It is dangerous. They will shoot down both sides, slides, and be thrust into the cement ledge. It is not safe for kids. Any thought on Springs Park?
I haven't been down there to check out those slides, okay. But I will.
Mayor not only will go down and check out the slides, she will go on those slides because she...
I didn't go that far.
You went on the one out there.
I went on the cement slide that goes like, shoots you into the river almost. And that one goes fast. And I will talk to Cameron about the underpass over there and get back to you.
I guess Shane Moore would be the one we talked to about Springs Park.
Yes, I will talk to Shane about Springs Park.
I honestly am not familiar with those slides either. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the new slides down there. Usually when we put in a new playground, we have a ribbon cutting, and then I can go and check out all the new playground equipment and stuff like that. So, and we are doing a lot of playground replacements right now. We just did the park next to Harmon's. We were going to have a ribbon cutting Thursday night. We canceled that. Thank goodness we all got struck by lightning.
Lightning and thunder,
That was a crazy storm. But before we end, I want to also mention October 1st. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Right.
For those that don't know, I am a breast cancer survivor. I was diagnosed 6 years ago with breast cancer. And there was no history in my family. It was caught because I was very faithful on my yearly mammograms. They caught it early. I still had to have a double mastectomy and two surgeries after that, actually. And then I had to be on a really lousy medication for 5 years that wiped out my immune system and made me feel like I was 95. But I've been off that medication now 1 year.
Yay!
And the new studies say you should be on it 10 years. And I cried when the oncologist told me that. And he said, well, I'll make you a deal. You can go off for a year. You have to see me more often. And I said, okay, I'll do that.
All right.
But ladies, please go get your mammograms.
Yeah.
It's easy peasy, 20 minutes. You're in and you're out. And it's much better than having advanced cancer where you're having to go through months and months and months of chemo and radiation and everything else.
And it was just maybe a year and a half ago that I lost my dear cousin. She had four little girls and to breast cancer. It was one of those things that she was not that old. She was in her late 30s, and she didn't feel like it was time yet. I had to worry about that kind of thing. Well, guess what?
It is younger. Colon cancer, breast cancer are hitting at a younger age. And where I've had breast cancer, I was tested for the BRCA gene. Fortunately, I didn't have it. But my girls still have to start their mammograms earlier than 40. So,
And I believe, even though yours wasn't genetic, I believe that is the biggest factor in breast cancer. My mother-in-law had breast cancer, and I know my wife is being very vigilant and making sure. She's like, I'll never get it. I'm like, yeah, well, we all say that.
Yeah.
But it happens.
You never know. So.
Well, Michelle, thanks for coming today and for sharing your story and all the wise words.
Thank you, and we'll see you Saturday after the mayor's walk.
That's right, bright and early Saturday morning, St. George Marathon. Thank you, Michelle.
Have a great day, everyone.
We'll see you later.